68. Mandy was screaming, long, powerful screams that carried on even after the tentacle had vanished. In between each howl, she took a raw, panting breath that told Tim she was using more air screaming than breathing, which meant she'd stop in a moment one way or another. Oscar was short, but Tim put him at 240 pounds, easy. The only time he'd seen anyone vanish that fast before was during paratrooper training, when guys would step out the hatch and be gone before you could register it. Television and movies made skydiving look slow because there were no reference points. It was fast. Speeding on the highway fast. The tentacle had yanked Oscar up and away that fast. Mandy's screams broke down to a hoarse rasping that became tears. Debbie rocked her back and forth like a child.
"Did it kill him?" asked Clive. "Is he dead?" "Didn't take him outside to hug him," said Roger.
Nate stepped toward the window. Veek grabbed his hand. She didn't hold him back, just stepped to the window with him. Tim shot a glance at his prisoner. Andrew still looked blissed out. It was the smile and gaze of someone prepared to drink their paper cup of Kool-Aid. Tim stepped over to the window but made sure he still had a clear shot at the man. That wasn't hard, since 90% of the furniture was now against the far wall. He glanced out at the wasteland. There was no sign of the squid whales. Nate leaned out and looked up, left, right, before yanking his head back. Then he leaned out again and took his time. "Come on," he said, "to the roof." Roger's jaw dropped.
"You nuts? You want to go outside?"
"It's not safe," said Debbie.
"Especially up high and exposed," Clive added.
Nate shrugged.
"We need to see more," he said. "You with me, Velma?" "You got it, Shaggy."
Zila straightened up, winced, and put on a brave face.
"I thought I was Velma."
"Back off, bitch," Veek said. She managed a smile.
"You're Daphne. Deal with it."
"Seriously?"
Roger shook his head.
"You're going up?"
"Coming or staying?" asked Nate. Roger met Zila's eyes.
"I'm in."
They headed for the door. Tim pulled the pistol from his belt and offered it to Nate.
"Just in case."
"In case what?" Nate asked. "Is it loaded with nukes?"
"Sorry, no, just hollow points."
"Then I don't think it's going to do much good." The fire door to the roof was wedged tight. The four of them positioned themselves on the stairs and pushed. There was a lot of weight on the other side. The door moved a few inches, then a few more. They saw bricks scattered on the rooftop. Some were still cemented together in groups of three or four.
"Looks like the machine room came apart," said Veek. "You think they hit it?"
"Wind from the big one was pretty gnarly," said Roger. "Might have just been that."
The door opened another 2 inches.
"I think I could squeeze through," said Zila.
"Keep pushing," said Nate.
"Why?"
"Because if we need to get off the roof fast, we don't want to squeeze through one at a time."
"Hey,"
a voice echoed up the stairwell in a bad stage whisper. It sounded like Clive.
"Are you guys making the scraping noise?"
"Yeah," called Veek. "The door's stuck."
"Cool," he said. "Just making sure."
They all broke out in grim smiles and pushed again. The opening was 2 feet wide. Roger put his back against the door and braced his leg up against the frame. He grunted and heaved, and the door moved another 7 or 8 inches.
"Good enough?"
Nate nodded.
"Works for me."
He led the way out onto the barren roof. The wooden sun deck and all its furniture was gone. In places, the tar paper was torn away in broad patches. One of the air vents was shredded into long strips of metal. They turned, scanning the skies in every direction. Roger saw them first and pointed. All of them looked north. The squid whale pack was 2 miles away. They'd gained altitude and were soaring up over a set of huge hills like desert sand dunes. One of the smaller ones swept down and plucked a palm tree from the ground with its tentacles. It was hard to tell from their angle, but it looked like the beast swallowed it whole. The pack veered off to the east and coasted across a ridge that ran from the distant hills down past the building and onto the south. They swooped down and vanished from sight. Nate's eyes followed the ridge, waiting for them to reappear, and then he squinted. He tried to focus on a distant shape that contrasted against the endless gray of ground and sky. It was at the very top of the hill and was thinner than it was tall.
"You guys see that?"
Veek peered over the top of her glasses.
"I see something."
It seemed to be glossy, but
Nate wasn't sure if it was just his eyes trying to focus on it. He tried to estimate the distance and height off a few lone palm trees and guessed the tower might be 15 or 20 feet tall, which meant it was about 10 feet wide. Zila hobbled over. The blade of glass was still in her leg, but didn't seem to be bleeding much.
"Looks old," she said.
"How so?" asked Nate. She shrugged.
"Just the lines of it. I might be totally wrong."
"Doesn't look like they're coming back," said Veek.
Nate glanced over his shoulder.
"Assuming they're the only ones."
Roger leaned past the railing.
"Found the sun deck," he said.
He tipped his head at the ground below. The broken planks and beams stood out against the bleached soil. The wood spread out in a trail starting at the base of the hill and leading north. A lone deck chair stood right side up in the middle of it all. Nate strained his eyes.
"Anyone see any sign of Oscar? Anything? Any parts?"
"I think," Zila said, taking her time, "if one of those things ate him, they wouldn't need to bite."
"Wouldn't need to," muttered Roger. "But they might do it for fun."
"But if we don't see anything, it means he might be alive, too," said Nate. "We can't write him off yet."
They stared at the sun deck for a moment. Veek pulled off her glasses and wiped the line of blood onto her shirt.
"Okay," she said. "I'll bring it up. All you guys heard those things talk, too? It wasn't just my brain crashing, right?"
"I heard it, too," said Nate. "Almost pissed myself," Roger said with a nod.
"Me too,"
added Zila. She didn't smile.
"No question about how they see us," Nate said.
"Yeah, but they're smart," said Veek. "They speak English."
"I don't think they were," said Zila. "I mean, I don't want to sound all new age, but they were speaking right to our minds, weren't they, telepathically?"
Roger shrugged.
"It was loud," he said. "Really loud."
"It could have been in our heads," said Nate. "That might explain all the bleeding."
Roger nodded.
"Right. Getting stuff done to your brain makes your nose bleed. I read that in a book once."
"You read a book?" said Veek.
"Wait for it," said Roger. "And fuck you."
"What I mean is," said Zila, slapping Roger on the shoulder, "I don't think we were hearing English. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was getting a lot of ideas and images more than actual, you know, words."
Veek nodded.
"Same here. Just lots of things like food and prey and
cattle," said Nate. "It called us cattle."
"We're hamburger, you mean," said Roger.
"No,"
Veek shook her head.
"It means we are something they raised on a farm to turn into hamburger."
They all looked to the northern hills for a few moments. Veek moved toward the back of the building. Zila limped back over to the remains of the machine room and Roger went with her. Nate followed the path of the whale beasts with his eyes. The shattered deck made a fine guide for half a mile. He scanned the horizon in every direction. He didn't think they could sneak up on the building, but he wasn't so sure about being able to get away from them if he did see them. Zila tossed a half brick through one of the holes. It clattered on some of the machinery, and then the sound of it faded as it fell down the elevator shaft. She looked back at them.
"Do you think all the tunnels came over too? Do they count as part of the building?"
"No clue," said Nate.
"Might be a good place to hide out."
"Good place to die," said Roger. "One of those things collapses the building or lands on it, bet you anything, all those tunnels cave in."
He walked back to Nate and crooked his chin up at the sky.
"Don't think the sun's moved since we got here," he said.
"I think you're right."
Roger waved up at the distant dunes.
"Do you notice the shape of the hills?"
Nate followed his gesture.
"What do you mean?"
"There aren't any of the other buildings or anything, but the land's a lot like it is in our world. We're still halfway up that same hill. Got little mountains up ahead of us, just like the Hollywood Hills."
Nate studied the hills and realized Roger was right. They were scoured down to dirt and stone, but he could see the curves and dips that made up the view from his apartment. He could even see the small plateau where the Griffith Park Observatory would sit.
"Up there to the right, that ridge? That's where Vermont Avenue would be."
Roger waved his arm in the other direction.
"That's all Hollywood over there. Bet if we went a couple miles that way, we'd find an ocean."
"Yeah,"
said Veek, from the far side of the roof.
"But what'd be in it?" Nothing, said Nate. That's the overriding factor here, isn't it? Everything's dead.
Not dead, said Zila. Killed, eaten, those squale things have sucked the life out of this whole world.
Veek tilted her head.
Squale?
Squid whales, said Zila. A stupid name makes them a bit more bearable.
Squale it is, then, said Roger.
The door scraped and they all jumped. Clive stepped out onto the roof.
We've got a problem, he said. The machine's off.
Veek's eyes went wide.
What do you mean? Asked Nate.
I mean, it's off. The sparks, the hum, it's all stopped ever since that big thing flew by.
Clive took a moment to breathe and slow himself down.
The machine's not protecting us anymore.